Good morning. Welcome to the church family of St. Linus. We extend a warm welcome to you and to our visitors as we worship together on the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The announcements for the week. Don't forget to sign up your child for Vacation Bible School. It is the week of July 26th and is only $35 per child for the whole week. See page 8 in the bulletin for a registration form and for more information. Be sure to register early to save a seat for your child on the boat to Egypt. See page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week. And please stand and join in prayer and song.
Today we are going to be really challenged if we listen with hearts and minds open to the gospel message. Let us pray for the courage and the grace to listen. Good morning. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
As usual, we begin the celebration of the mystery of the Mass by asking God to forgive us our sins. Why not take this moment and whisper to yourself, Lord, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, you came to show us how to live. Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ Jesus, you came to show us how to love. Christ eleison, Christ have mercy.
Christ have mercy.
And Lord Jesus, you came to show us how to be holy. Kyrie eleison, Lord have mercy. And may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ,
Holy Son of the Father,
Lord God, Lamb of God, take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father, amen. To God our Father we pray. Father, let the light of your truth guide us to your kingdom through a world filled with lights contrary to your own. Christian is the name in the gospel we glory in. May your love make us what you have called us to be. For this we will pray through Christ our Lord.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "If only you would heed the voice of the Lord your God and keep his commandments and statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you return to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. For this command that I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, 'Who will go up in the sky to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out?' Nor is it across the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out?' No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Turn.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him we were created all things, in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. From the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, and when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day he took out the silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back. Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber's victim? He answered, the one who treated him with mercy. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of the Lord. There is a Jewish rabbi who relates a similar story to the one you just heard in our Gospel. He goes on to say that a poor villager came to town to earn money for the Passover. He made some money and purchased different things. Then he took his horse and the wagon, heavily laden, and he began to go back home. When suddenly at nightfall, his wagon fell into a pit, swampy pit created by the rains. Now a wealthy merchant happened to come by and heard his cries for help. So he and his driver went down into the pit and tried to extricate the poor man and his belongings, which they did. Then they hauled everything he had onto his own wagon, and he took the poor villager back home. And there he discovered the abject poverty he and his family were living in. So he gave him a large sum of money. And then he went on his own way. Now, a few years later, the rich merchant died. And of course, he was brought before the tribunal of God. And there it was discovered that he apparently had become wealthy through some shady dealings. And so he could have been easily condemned until an angel of mercy appeared and began to weigh the good deeds against the bad deeds of this rich merchant. And so the angel went on. First, he put on the scale of on the side of the scale of good deeds, he put down the man and his family. But it was not enough to outweigh the balance. Then he added the belongings and the hordes. But even that did not balance the bad deeds. Finally, he added the mud and the mire out of which the rich man rescued the villager. And that apparently tipped the balance of good deeds in his favor. And therefore, he was justified and he was saved. Now, in the story that you heard today, we are not told what, how our good Samaritan fared before God's tribunal, but I think we can imagine. By the way, he's called good Samaritan. But Samaritans in those days were actually very hated and rejected by the Jewish people. Why? Because the Samaritans actually were people of Jewish blood who intermarried and married their pagan neighbors, and therefore they were very despised by the Jewish people, worse than Gentiles. And so what makes the story so interesting is that, first of all, Jesus chose the Samaritan. I mean, he could have chosen a Jewish, respectable Jewish person. Instead, he chose the one who was considered to be no good. And as it happened, the two righteous people who went by that road before him, a priest and a Levite, so-called righteous people, they didn't bother to stop. First of all, because maybe they were afraid there was a trap. Some other thief might be, you know, around the corner. If the man was dead, the Jewish law said that you should not touch a dead person. So, you see, they were bound by law. So they were good abiding, law-abiding citizens. And yet, you see, Jesus says, those who were two were no good. The good person was the Samaritan. And you might wonder, why did the Samaritan stop in any way? Well, perhaps because he related to the suffering of the victim, because he himself was a victim. Because of the rejection and the hatred of his neighbors, the Jewish people. And so I think you and I should ask ourselves, how does this message impact our lives? And how we in turn can impact a world in which the law says that certain ethics like abortion and the execution of prisoners are legal. How are we to deal with every tightening laws that call for the arrest, incarceration, abuse, and deportation of undocumented people? It goes on right now as we speak, isn't it? Some parts of the country, Arizona and California and whatnot. And how do we account for the fact that their families are being torn apart and made to live in fear and dire need? How can we justify the number of hungry and homeless people in the world and in our country? Though we call ourselves law-abiding. You see, believe it or not, we are all wounded healers, just like the Samaritan was. I remember when I was working at Providence Hospital as chaplain, I was constantly reminding myself that's what I was. I was a chaplain, but I was the wounded healer with all my brokenness, limitations, and my sins, who was dealing with the sick and dying people out of the hospital. And it's the only way I could possibly do any good at all to those sick and dying people if I constantly reminded myself that I was sick too, perhaps not physically, but mentally and socially and otherwise. And that's where I think we can relate to the pains and sufferings of others, and therefore we are moved. You see, suffering, you know, can make us very bitter, isn't it? Oh, sure. You know, loss of a job and struggles and difficulties. But also sufferings and struggles can make us very strong as well. And that's what happened to this Samaritan. As someone said, nobody escapes being wounded. We are all wounded people, either physically, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually. The main question is, how can we hide our wounds so we don't have to be embarrassed? But how can we put our woundedness in the service of others? When our wounds cease to be a source of shame and become a source of healing, we have become wounded healers. And may I ask you, may give you one final suggestion as far as becoming a good Samaritan? Take driving. I shared this yesterday evening right here. And at the risk of perhaps making all you women my enemies, I must confess that I get so frustrated when I'm being tailgated by a young lady. It seems like most of the times, at least that's what I've noticed, are young ladies in their 20s and 30s who seem to be right behind in my car, and I get so mad. You know, I move over, let her go by, but I have to refrain myself and don't say an awful word against that driver. Really, I don't understand why. The younger ladies of today seems to be such a rush. But anyway, if you want to be a good Samaritan, start from driving. Like for instance, you know, putting your turn lights on, right or left. What a wonderful gesture. And many people don't. So what happens? You get stuck behind this person, supposed to turn, but there's no signal light. Therefore, you go right behind it. They hope that, you know, traffic moves on. Instead, you wait there because she hasn't put on any light. So you see, there's so many wonderful opportunities just driving. but you can become a very good Samaritan. Try it. You will be surprised. And God bless you.